Yoshua Perik Yud Pasuk Tes. And so now that the Kenanim have attacked Givon and Givon has asked for help, Yoshua is going to go and help them directly. Vayavo Alehem Yoshua Pisom. And so Yoshua came upon the Kenanim who were surrounding and attacking Givon suddenly. Kol Halayla Ola Min HaGilgol. Because all of the previous night, he had been coming up from Gilgal with the army. The previous night was Thursday evening going into Friday, and that's going to be very important for the story that is to follow. A nace took place, the Chazal tell us. Normally, from Gilgal, where Yehoshua was, to Givon is a journey of 3 days. And Yehoshua and the men managed to make it all just in one night to get there to defend the Givonim against the Kenanim. And Hashem confused them. Hashem confounded them before Klal Yisrael's attack. Frequently, we've seen this several times, the attackers of the Jewish people or the attackers who the Jewish people are defending against get confused by, as we will see in Shoftim, a major noise or earthquake, or they turn their swords against each other. One of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favorite tactics is to turn the enemy against itself and confuse them. And any general, even in modern warfare, will tell you that once the army completely loses focus and chaos reigns, there is no way to predict what will happen in a battle. In the Haftorah of Vayishlach, of Ovadia, talking about Esav, he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get vengeance against Esav, he will just take their leaders and make them fools and simpletons. He'll take away their common sense, take away their grasp of the obvious until they make major mistakes and then lead their people into disaster. Absolutely no current political events comment intended or should be inferred. So the Kenanim became very confused. Vayakem makah gedola b'Givon. And the Jews smote them with a mighty blow at Givon. Vayakem is singular. So the implication is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck strongly against the Kenanim at Givon. Vayir defam, and so then the Jewish people got to chase them as they fled. Derech ma'alei beis choron. As they ran on the way that goes up towards Beis Choron. So at this point now, Yehoshua came west from Gilgal to Givon, continuing in the direction that we had been going, starting across the Yarden, going west to Yericho, continuing northwest to Ai, further west to Givon, further and further into the country, and now southwest, past Yerushalayim to Beis Choron. So when they are fleeing, they are actually fleeing downwards as far as the country goes, into the southern kingdoms that had all unified the five kings to try to fight against Klal Yisrael. Now at this point it says Ma'ale Beis Choron, going up to Beis Choron, because we know Yerushalayim and the environs have many hills. This means that the Kenanim, the Me'am Loes tells us, were at a higher elevation. They had the high ground, which is technically an advantage in any military engagement. But contrary to the usual way a battle is going to proceed, the army running upwards was actually running away on the defensive rather than going on the offensive, showing once again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making this happen in a unique and miraculous way with many more miracles to come. Beis Choron, actually, there are two cities. There is upper Beis Choron and lower Beis Choron. So this is already lower Beis Choron, further and further to the south. And they struck them all the way until pretty far away, two places called Azekah and Makedah, which will come up again a bit later on in Sefer Yehoshua once we get up to the borders in Perek Tesvav. And now the first of a few very important miracles takes place. Yud Aleph, Vayehi Benusam Mipnei Yisrael, and it was when the Kenanim were fleeing from and before Klal Yisrael, Hain Bemorad Beis Choron, and now they were on the downslope of Beis Choron. So they had run all the way uphill, over the top, and coming down the other side. And then, Vahashem Hishlich Alehem Avonim Gedolos Min HaShomayim. God cast down upon them huge stones from the heavens, ad Azekah, until they reached Azekah, Vayamusu, and they died. giant hailstones are suddenly falling on the army, not on the Jewish people who are engaged closely chasing them, only on the Knanim, and they died. Rabim asher mesu be'avnei habarod. More died through these hailstones. Interesting, it says avnei habarod, the stones of the hail. That is actually a very important hay. Me'asher hargu b'nei Yisrael becharev, compared to how many that the Jewish people actually managed to kill by the sword. What do we mean by avnei habarod? The huge stones of the hail. So Chazal tell us that the avnei habarod that they are talking about are stones that were still being withheld after the plague of Barad on the Egyptians. What Chazal teach us is that when the Barad fell on the Egyptians as a plague, only one-third of them were needed to fall before the Egyptians realized how much trouble that they were in. That left two-thirds of the stones held in abeyance, kind of suspended, still up in Shamayim, before they fell down upon the Mitzrim. The next one-third of them was cast down upon these Canaanim at this time and place for Yehoshua. The last third, Chazal tell us, are being saved for the Milchemes Gog u'Magog in the future. The Shulchan Aruch calls these Avonim Avnei Algavish. Avnei Algavish, because Algav Ish, because of a man, a tremendous Jewish man, the stones stood and fell. The first Ish was Moshe, the second Ish is Yehoshua. And so, tremendous Nisim, as the nature itself is being subverted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a miracle. But the Nes of the stones was only the first part. When more people died from the stones than the sword, people might say, Yehoshua thought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only cast down stones perhaps when it's dark or darkening. It was getting late in the afternoon and Shabbos was coming, and Yehoshua had an issue because the battle was not over, but Shabbos was on its way.